Good morning. You've been welcomed several times already. My turn. Let me introduce myself. I am Rabbi Benjamin Blech, and I have only been teaching at Yeshiva since 1966. I started with my bar mitzvah, of course. And that means I've been teaching here for 43 years. They tell me if I work out well today, I may have a job permanently. They may continue to retain me. When I came, I began to teach a number of different subjects, which I'm still doing to this very day. But there was one that I sort of became the expert in because nobody else was doing it. Years ago, Rabbi Bezer came to me and he said, when he was running the school, we have people coming in here from all over. They want to learn about Judaism. They will be on a journey. They will be studying Gemara. They will be studying Halacha. They will be studying all the various areas where when you put them together mentally, you understand what it means to be a Jew. But we have to speed up the process as well. And what I would like is an introductory course to Judaism that embraces all the major concepts. And I said, what book would you like me to use? And he said, yours. Write it. Well, I took the course, and after about 10 years, I finally decided to turn it into a book. I'm proud to tell you that some years ago, the Orthodox Union, Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations, formed a committee to look at all the books on Judaism that are out there in the market. And without my having any input or knowing about it, they said that my book, Understanding Judaism, which is based on the course that I give here, is the single best book on Judaism in our generation. So I'm very proud of that. You can also see it on the AISH website. They have a university, and it's called Pathways, and there are some lectures on there. I do a ton of stuff in that course. And the book is a big book, which I urge you to buy. But in doing a snippet, you know, I asked, what should I speak about when they told me to come here today? And they gave the same answer that every Jewish community in the world where I speak gives me when I said, what should I speak about? They said, speak about 20 minutes. The most important thing that Jews are concerned with is the time. It doesn't matter what the subject is. And now, I'm not sure if I have the full 20 minutes, but I am going to take something that I discussed with my students that's in the book that I think is so important because it relates to one of the most basic and fundamental mistakes made in the Jewish world as well as in the non-Jewish world. Perhaps, as I will show you, the reason we make that mistake is because we live in an alien culture, because we have been influenced, we have become assimilated in a way without even realizing it, and so make a terrible error about the most important moment in Jewish history. The moment when God gave us the Torah. Well, he didn't give us the Torah. God at Sinai could not have given us the Torah, the book, the five books of Moses, because if we would have had the Torah at Sinai, we would have looked into the book and seen what stories occur next, and we would have known the future. That's absurd. Well, he didn't give us the Torah, true. What did he give us? What did he give us? What did God give us at Sinai? He gave us the laws. And specifically, which laws did he give us? The Ten Commandments. Is that correct? That's what everybody will answer. And God gave us the Ten Commandments written on the two tablets of stone, and God spoke. So God gave us 10 laws. Wait a second. If I ask you what's the magic number for law in Judaism, you will tell me what? 613. Tariyat Mitzvot. Well, God only gave us 10. Why did he give us 10? What are those 10 in terms of their relationship to the totality of Jewish law, the 613? Most common answer. Let's hear it from somebody. What are those 10? These 10 are?
Top 10.
The top 10. David Letterman before David. The top 10, right? They are the 10 most important laws of Judaism. Wow, that's interesting. I don't even see Yom Kippur in there. I don't see Kashrut in there. I don't see laws of family purity in there. Well, I guess they're not that important. Wait a second. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot which says, Heve zohir b'mitzvah kalo kibachamura, she'ein ato yodea matan scharan shal mitzvos. Be as careful with a light mitzvah as with a hard mitzvah, because you do not know the reward for mitzvahs, which is another way of positing the constitutional principle of Judaism that tells us that all mitzvahs are created equal, with liberty and justice for all. I don't understand. There are 613 mitzvot, you tell me, and then you tell me there are the 10. And if you say these are the top 10, you're not allowed to say that. That concept of top 10, which is selectivity in Judaism, is a no-no, is forbidden. So what in the world are these 10? People make a huge mistake. Before I get to you, I'll give you a chance. I'd like to show you how a misunderstanding crept into the Jewish world from the Gentile world in a fascinating way that caused us to misunderstand this basic set of 10 laws. And it is such a crucial mistake that it led to a change of halakha, of law, of practice within the way in which we conduct Jewish services. Wow, that's huge. That's why I did this sheet with you. I want to show you something. Before I look inside with you, let me just tell you some basic things that you probably do know. You know that prayer today is primarily a substitute for something that could only have been done when you had a temple. And what is that? Tefillah, b'makom, anybody? Korban. Tefillah is in place of the sacrificial system. Sacrificial system attempted in a very visual way to do what? What is the root of the word korban? the three-letter word, root word of the word korban. Korov, close. And it was a way of getting it close to God. And I guess you needed all the symbolism, you needed all the activity in the temple. The temple is destroyed. We can no longer do korbanot. So we do prayer. And prayer accomplishes the same thing verbally. Prayer is the substitute for the sacrificial system. My next question is, in the temple, when they had sacrifices and they were able to do it the full, complete way, was there any prayer as we know it in the Beit HaMikdash? Did they do any verbal praying? And the answer is yes, you're looking down here. In the temple, the Kohanim, they said some basic prayers. And the Talmud tells us what they said. And if you see, where is it here? A little bit is cut off. Yeah. I'm very talking in the English. The Koran Aseret Hadibrot, they would recite the Ten Commandments. I'm going to get to that line, that translation, in a moment, because I'm going to tell you something that you will never hear anywhere else. The Art Scroll translation made a mistake, as far as I'm concerned. Now, we're going to correct that very shortly. In the temple, they read the Aseret Hadibrot. They read Shema, Bohoyim Shamoa, Beyomar. They read the three paragraphs of the Shema. And then they would then continue with the following three blessings, and the Sviatzit, blessing of temple service, and the blessing of the Kohanim. Now, in the time when verbal prayer was minimal, all they had were these few. The Siddur was like a nothing, was just a couple pages. One of the things they did say was, yes, sir, it didn't work. They read the Ten Commandments. That was part of the daily davening. Tell me, you go to shul, do we read the Aseret Hadibrot? in the Siddur? Is it part of the service? Yes? No?
No.
No, absolutely not. Isn't that strange? How come we don't do the Aseret HaDibro? The question is far stronger now. If at the time when the service was a minimal, when the Siddur was this small, one of the essential features was the Aseret HaDibro, now that we have expanded the Siddur, that's basically what happened. We added a lot of stuff because you can't do the sacrifices anymore, so let us fill in with more and more prayers. The Siddur is a large book. But we don't do the Aseret HaDibro. Why is that? There's a story connected with it. And the Talmud here tells us the story. The Gemara discusses the practice of reciting the Ten Commandments along with the Shema. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Afigvulim bikshu likros kain. They, the sages, wished to recite the Ten Commandments along with the Shema in this manner, even in the provinces, which means even outside the temple. Temple's destroyed. We're davening. And we are looking for prayers. You would have expected that they would, as I said to you, do minimal, do what they did, what the Kohanim did in the Beit HaMikdash. Do this fundamental aspect of Judaism. Do the Aseret HaDibro. So they wanted to institute it outside, meaning after the destruction of the temple. Elo, now here comes the crucial line. Elo shekvar batlum, but soon abolished them. Who abolished them? Who? Who? The rabbis. The rabbis of the time said, we don't want Jews to read the Aseret HaDibro in the services. They abolished a practice that had gone back to the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. They said, no more. Why would they do that? Here's the line. Mipnei, because of Tarumat Haminin. Now what does that mean? Let's see. Mipnei means because of Tarumot. I don't like the translation. Tarumot here is translated as arguments. If you know a little Hebrew, tarumot is more than an argument. It's a libel. It's an accusation. It's a false accusation. Because of the libels of the heretics. Let me understand here. If I were to be in a classroom right now, I mean, if we had the time, I would write tarumot, the libels, and then the heretics. I need to know two things with you. Who were these heretics? Who were they? Identify them. And what was the libel? What was the untruth, the terrible thing that they said, which caused the rabbis to remove the Aseret HaDibro from the daily service? You with me? Now, if you look at Rashi, and you can only do this by looking at the right-hand side, the little box on the right, where you have the word Haminin, we have Rashi saying Akum. Akum is a generic word. Does anyone know what it stands for? It has those two little lines, so it's an abbreviation. It stands for Ovei Kochavim Umazalot, worshippers of stars and planets. It's the way in which we refer to idolaters, non-Jews. Listen to this. You know Rabbi Steinsaltz's Gemara? He did a tremendous amount of research, and he found original Rashi manuscripts. And Rashi, in his own hand, did not write Akum for Minim. He wrote something else that I'll tell you in a moment, which the censors removed because they didn't like it in the Talmud. Rashi correctly identified who these Minim were. Here is what the original Rashi said. Haminim Talmidei Yeshu. Wow. Talmidei, disciples of, students of. Guess what Yeshu means? Jesus. Jesus. The early Christians, the early disciples of Jesus, who, by the way, thought they were the real Jews, early Christianity, thought that it was a continuation. tradition of and the real fulfillment of Judaism. They are the medium that are meant in this text. Ah, I identified the who. What I need to know now is the what. What could these early Christians have said that got the rabbis so upset that they were ready to, not only ready to, they actually did do what? Remove the recitation of the Aseret Hadibrot from the daily service, even though it had been part of the services in the temple. What could they have said about the Ten Commandments that was so wrong, so outrageous, and so frightening to the rabbis?
They were reinterpreting them.
They were reinterpreting them in what way? I understand what you're saying, you're absolutely correct, but I need to understand more. There was a fear on the part of the rabbis that if we read, if you every day were to read the Aseret Hadibrot, you would fall into a trap. What kind of a trap? A Christian trap. What was the problem? What could the problem be? What?
No Torah Shabbat Peh.
No Torah Shabbat Peh? Tell me more. You are correct, but tell me more.
No, only these. We're
simply only these! Only these! Ten commandments! They would say, you would say. I've heard this hundreds of times. Haven't you heard it? Rabbi, look, I may not be such a good Jew, but you know what? At least I keep the Ten Commandments. What is your answer to that? Well, okay, that's nice. You keep the Ten Commandments. But you know what your answer should be? There are no Ten Commandments in Judaism. There are 613. Then, Rabbi, what is the meaning of the Ten Commandments? Let me tell you. That phrase does not exist in Judaism. If there were a phrase comparable in Hebrew to the English supposed corollary, Ten Commandments, what would it have to be? A commandment is a mitzvah. What would Ten Commandments be in Hebrew? Aseret ha-mitzvah. Did you ever hear of Aseret ha-mitzvah? I never did. I heard of Aseret ha-dibrot. And what is the difference between mitzvot and dibrot? Came Sadegon and wrote a book. What a magnificent book. And what an idea. And it's an idea to which every Jewish philosopher, every Jewish commentator subscribes. It's just that Sadegon wrote the book on it. The book is called Sefer Ashoros. You know the 613 mitzvot? They are all derivatives of, hear me well, derivatives of 10 major, does anyone want to finish the sentence? 10 major, what did you say? Ideas, good. Give me another word. That's correct, but more. 10 major concepts, categories, principles. Aseret HaDibrot. They are 10. You know that all of American law, millions of laws all come from, have their source in the Constitution. That means they are derivatives of constitutional law. What are the 10 dibrot? They include all 613 mitzvot. Let me show you how, for example. Let me give an illustration. So that you grasp the concept, Sadegon took the 10 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9. And underneath each one of them, he specified which mitzvot stem from every principle. L'mashal, for example. If I were to embarrass somebody publicly here, that's a terrible sin. Terrible sin. If it's such a terrible sin, where is it in the Aseret HaDibrot? It's not listed there. Doesn't say embarrassing someone publicly, but it's there as a concept. Who will tell me where? Yes. Don't murder. In Hebrew, murder is called shrichat damim, shedding of blood. Says the Talmud, listen to this, I love this. God built into the human body an indication that when you embarrass somebody, you are in fact killing him or her in a sense, because what happens? Shrichat damim, you are shedding blood. The person gets embarrassed. You can say there is maxi murder and there is mini murder, right? Actually killing somebody or embarrassing somebody. I don't even know which is which, because there are times when you embarrass somebody and the person says, I was so embarrassed, I wish I were dead. Right? Let me ask you another one, just to see the concept. How about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is not in the Aseret HaDibur. It can't be that important. Yes, it is. Where is Yom Kippur? Shabbos. What is Yom Kippur called?
Shabbos.
Once a week, you're supposed to review your life from a spiritual perspective. Once a year, you do an annual full review. Do you understand the concept of Dibrot? Dibrot are the ultimate principles from which derive all 613. I don't want to hear, I tell my students, anybody anymore using the phrase 10 commandments. Now, Christianity wanted to do a good sales job. They wanted, and they were successful, in spreading their religion, which was a Reader's Digest condensed version. It was cutting down the 613 to an actual 10, calling them the 10 commandments, whereas they should have been what? And they are for us what? Aseret HaDibrot. Never confuse the two. And since I have to finish, I'll finish with this cute little insight. It's not for real, but it's just cute. 613. And if I had the time, right on the board, pick 6, 1, and 3. And what are these 613? Add them up individually. 6, and 1 is 7, and 3 is 10. The 613 are actually the 10 Dibrot, and because there are people who didn't get it, who misunderstood, we took the Dibrot out of the davening, because people who didn't hear this lecture are not going to know, but from now on you will know, and hopefully don't say 10 commandments. If somebody says, I keep the 10 commandments, first of all, I doubt that they do, because Shabbat is one of them and so on, but if they do keep the 10 commandments, 10 out of 613 is a batting average of, any math geniuses here, I never figured it out, but you know, that's not really that great. What we have to understand is the unity and totality of Jewish law. This was an attempt on the part of Talmidei Yeshu to alter that concept. It was Taruma Taminim, and I hope that I conveyed to you what the true shot is, Aseret HaDibrot and not Aseret HaMitzvot. Thank you.